I'm glad to be here. I'm really happy to see all of you. Oh, this is just such a joy every day. And when I was reflecting this afternoon about what I wanted to share this evening, I ended up with, you know, scribbled pages of possibilities. And I wanted just to start, though, with the last words of the Buddha. All conditioned things arise and pass away. Strive on with diligence. And that those last words we hear a lot in Burma after we take refuge. And you know, pay homage, take refuge, take the precepts. The monk who gives the precepts intones apamadena sampadeta, which means strive on with diligence. So it's kind of the refrain around here, apamadena sampadeta. So what is it to strive on with diligence? What does that look like and what gets in the way? We've spoken about balanced effort and I don't want to belabor that. This isn't a talk about actually diligence. It's more about, I wanted to share about some of the things that get in the way of striving on with diligence. Places we get caught, where we stop the practice, where we give up. And the whole of practice as it's woven into life, as you have all discovered, is to deepen and broaden our ability to access metta and to cultivate it in a balanced way, no matter what's arising, no matter what's happening. And we discovered we can maintain metta in some situations, but not others. We can maintain the practice in some situations, but not others. And at its best, balanced effort amongst all of this is steadfast, regardless of conditions. And so we might not be there yet with perfect balanced effort all the time, but we all have part of it. We all have some of it. We can access that when we're here with everybody else and it brings us here and we can be diligent. And this word diligence, I prefer actually steadfastness. Faithfulness, remaining true to what we want to do. And so we can do that here when we have the support of everything and everybody. But all conditioned things arise and pass away, and very soon this won't be happening anymore. Then what do we do then? Where do we go wrong then? More to the point. And I see it as three different manifestations. And it's basically lobha, dosa, and moha, greed, hatred, and delusion. And three big ways we can kind of fall off this faithful diligence. Three big challenges. The first is dependence. where we become dependent on certain conditions for practice. Like this. Like, you know, having other people to share it with. Having external stimulation, external inspiration. And really, this is the cultivation of internal discipline, finding a way to access our desire to practice when other people aren't there to share it with us, where we don't have a retreat to go to, or teachers to connect with, or Sangha to sit with. And this can be a real challenge because we take so much support from this. These are supportive conditions. And so then we seek out new retreats or, you know, other external supports. And they're good and they're necessary, not to dismiss that. But finding internal support is the way forward here. And there are no real answers to that, actually. I can't tell you how to do that. But simply coming to yourself for 5 minutes every day. Let that be enough and see what happens then. And so much of finding internal discipline is trusting yourself and valuing yourself as much as you value others. So this, a lot of this is a journey towards, you know, appreciating yourself. And this is a challenge for a lot of us. But can you be okay with your own company when you sit? Can you be inspired by yourself, by your diligent, sincere effort, which all of you, every single one of you, are putting forth, but without needing somebody else to appreciate you for it? Can you appreciate yourself for that? Try it for 5 minutes. And see what happens. So there's dependence and independence. And as Ariya said in quoting Sayadaw Indica, metta is always accompanied by a spirit of independence. So radiating metta for yourself, learning to value and appreciate yourself, no matter how flawed we are intrinsically worthy of metta, is actually paradoxically the solution for dependence. So to just do it is often the answer for this. So that first hurdle, dependence. A second place we get caught isn't so much the lobha place, the greed place, but dosa. And it takes the form of impatience. When we're, you know, faced at the end of a retreat, looking back at what we hoped might happen and what didn't, we might be disappointed. Every single person here has touched new ground in the practice. Every single person here has had an experience of metta. But somehow, when we're faced with the ending of a retreat, somehow often that's not enough. You know, we want freedom. We want a big leap forward. And sometimes that happens, but not all the time. It's often much more subtle. And we're faced with the stubbornness of our stuff, of our conditioning, of our habits. And we can get impatient with this, or bored with it, or just like, oh, to heck with it. I saw this so clearly today in my little, you know, way I contribute here in the monastery with work, the task that I've been given to do, which is sweep leaves and water. The watering, that's okay. That gets done every day and it's kind of a pleasant job. And I like sweeping leaves. When I've swept the leaves and I can admire the clean paths. But when I'm sweeping the leaves and the wind is blowing and I don't get a moment to appreciate cleanliness, I don't get that gratification. It's just this constant kind of incessant, endless job that never gets finished. There was a moment today, halfway through, I just looked around and said, oh, I said to myself quietly, silently, essentially, and I won't use the word, oh, it. It's like, I give up. I'm sick of this. It was a moment of pure dosa. You know, it's like I was so impatient to finish and I never got to finish. And the practice can be like this. I actually started to laugh because it was so like the practice. Every day we sit down or we come to a retreat and it's the same old stuff arising again. We don't get to finish the job. It doesn't look neat and tidy and linear. And we know if we stop, it'll only be overwhelming because it'll keep coming. All these kilesa will still arise. And, you know, we might not even get 5 minutes of perfection. Or maybe we do. Maybe we get a minute of metta and then boom, there, all that stuff is back again. This is simple patience that's required. And that's a hard thing to cultivate. And I think I said either in a group or here, you know, my teacher Upandita used to say the road to Nibbana is paved with patience. That's not anything I ever wanted to hear. But please be patient is often the instruction we get from the Sayadaws. Please be patient. It can be like this. Just keep going. So every day, sweep the mind with metta a little bit at least. Sweep some of those leaves in the mind. So it won't be a totally overwhelming task. And understand that this is the way it works. The kilesa do end. There is freedom of mind. There is that beautiful state that is referred to at the end of the Metta Sutta. By not holding two fixed views, the pure-hearted one is not born again into this world. That does happen to people. It happened to the Buddha and has happened to many, many people since then. And we just have to remember that and keep going. And the third thing that can get in the way of this diligence, this, you know, just doing the practice, is when faced with the first thing and the second thing together, we can get to overwhelm. So when we're faced with not being inspired, and the incessant, relentless avalanche of our mind. We can just go to a place of complete overwhelm. And this is moha, delusion, freezing. It's like, oh, give up today. Maybe I'll eat some ice cream instead. It's too much, it's too long, it's too intense, I'm too alone with it. We can get to places like this. This is a call for resilience. And it's a call of the heart for resilience and for the development of that. And this practice asks everything of us. Courage, humility, a willingness to continually connect and reconnect in no matter what. Vigilant and a patient vigilance. Connecting with mindfulness when this happens. It's a crucible, to be sure, practice. We're tested and we're being refined, as the Buddha said, like gold. Melted and purified. None of this needs to be fixed. It's not fixing that's needed. Just acceptance and understanding. Not all pain can be fixed. You don't have to fix overwhelm. Just feel it and understand there's limits. And we all have limits. So don't push yourself over an edge. Find that place between comfort and too much where you can rest against the edge and not go over it into overwhelm. And if you hit overwhelm, just stop and be kind to yourself. There's a beautiful quote that I really like from a book. Excuse me. Somebody is visiting me in my eye. From a book called The Fearless Heart by Thupten Jinpa. He's the translator for the Dalai Lama and just a wonderful, wonderful human being. It says, compassion for ourselves and others takes courage. However, compassion also makes courage. So trusting that, resilience comes from patiently, kindly being present to ourselves. And remember as we do this, that we all suffer. Every single person in this world suffers. It's not just you. And your suffering is not in some way particular or more intense necessarily than anyone else, or it's more special than anyone else's. It's a piece of a bigger fabric of suffering that we all carry a piece of. So to hold it in perspective, we all suffer. And remember, because it's not just you, compassion for yourself and compassion for others brings us to such a bigger place with this. And remember that everything you do matters. Every single moment of metta matters. Like Ariya said, just a finger snap is very powerful. So remembering it's bigger than you and remembering that finger snap and finding resilience in common humanity. There's much more to say. I'm not going to say it. But I want to thank you for your practice. I want to thank you for your sincerity and your diligence and striving on with diligence means resting in your own vulnerability and your own gifts, both at the same time. I love, Tad, how you spoke of taking refuge, because it's true. Sometimes we take refuge in the refrigerator. Sometimes we take refuge in Netflix. This is a manifestation of our vulnerability, of our need for comfort. That can actually be okay. Do that consciously. I take refuge in Netflix. But then at the same time, find a way also to find another, to rest in that place where you might not be completely comfortable. Don't deny yourself a little comfort, but find the diligence and the courage to sometimes, not too much, not to overwhelm, but to rest in that place that might be uncomfortable, and to find the compassion for yourself to open to that. For your welfare and happiness, and for the welfare and happiness of everybody. Being open, vulnerable, kind, moment to moment to moment. So I want to leave it at that. So that we have time for practice. And I want to share today the practice of radiating loving kindness for all beings in the 10 directions. And I'm going to do it like going around a clock. So giving us a couple of minutes in each direction. This may feel a little quick for some of you. This is just a taste. You play with it on your own for longer periods of time in each direction as you feel comfortable. This is just to give you a taste. So we'll start with north. If you are in touch with the cardinal directions, north, south, east, west, northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest, If you feel comfortable with a compass rose, use that. If you do not, if you're directionally challenged, in front of me, and then going around a clock, this direction to my right, halfway between my right and behind me. So you can go around the compass rose, starting with in front of you and just doing it that way rather than using the cardinal directions. So we have the 8 cardinal directions, or the 8 directions from in front of you, swinging around like a clock, and then above and below. And when doing this, radiating metta for all beings in a given direction, you don't have to imagine anyone in particular out there. Just beam like a lighthouse in that direction and trust that the metta will connect with everybody out there like light. So if there are people that come to mind, that's fine, but you don't have to have a vivid image. Just Be like a lighthouse. So when you're ready, close your eyes. Get comfortable. And we don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to be brief. I'm looking at the clock thinking instead of the 8 cardinal directions, we'll just do north, south, east, west. When you do this for real, you'll be going north, northeast, east, southeast. You'll be doing the intermediate directions as well. But we don't have time to do that today, tonight. So beginning with your eyes closed, just connect with yourself very briefly with kindness. Dropping into the heart, taking a few breaths. If you're using the compass direction, orienting for the moment to where north is, to give you kind of an anchor in space. And taking this kind, well-wishing for a moment for yourself, anchoring yourself in that. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. Resting there for a few breaths with the phrase, dropping the phrase into the heart. And now, just as I want to be well, happy, and peaceful, may all beings to the north or in front of me be well, happy, and peaceful. Using the phrase that you use normally, the language that you use normally, all beings to the north. And then putting your phrase in there. For all beings in front of me, well, happy, peaceful. And just let the metta go out by itself. Thank you. And now letting this beam of metta slowly swing to the east or to your right. Beaming it out using the phrase, may all beings to the east be well, happy, and peaceful. Whatever your phrase is, inclining that to the eastern direction. Touching whatever unknown beings are out there. And now letting this beautiful light of metta swing around to the south or behind you. Beaming out into space, touching whatever beings are out there with kindness and well-wishing. And then now, letting this beam of metta move to the west, the western direction. May all beings to the west or to my left be well, happy, and peaceful. And now, letting this beam of metta go straight up in the upper direction above you, all beings above me, whether they're in the flat that lives, you know, the people living in the flat above me, or in my building above me, or the birds in the sky, or beings in other realms up there, wherever beings are above me, flying in airplanes, many beings above us, even the bats and the mosquitoes, may they all be well, happy, and peaceful. All the birds. All beings in the upper direction. And now, letting this beam of light go below you. All beings in the downward direction. Any beings on a lower floor of your structure that you're living in. Or in the earth, all the earthworms who do so much work for us to keep the soil happy. Little burrowing animals keeping warm in their little hidey holes somewhere. Or even beings on the other side of this round, beautiful blue planet. The Antipodes, wherever those are for you. And out into space, in the downward direction. May all beings in the downward direction be well, happy, and peaceful. Letting this light of metta go in all directions without exception. May all beings everywhere be well, happy, and peaceful. coming to a close now. When you're ready, opening your eyes. Letting this metta light continue to shine as you do, as you stretch, bow, move the body. So this is one possibility for how to expand the metta from yourself to all beings by way of directions, and play with it. If you find it, you enjoy it, feel free to do it more. In the formal sitting, you can do like we did. It's a little harder in the walking. In the walking, I would just say radiate metta to all beings. Or you can radiate metta in the forward direction. And as you turn around at the end of your formal walking lane, just beam the metta around in that direction. So. And as we did before for general activities, radiating metta for all beings, however it's easy and appropriate in the moment. What Aria's been calling freestyle metta, I like that expression very much. It's whatever works. Be flexible and creative. Finding a way to radiate metta that suits you, rather than needing, you know, to do it in a particular way. Whatever suits you, meaning the continuity is supported. So connecting with metta for all beings, in the sitting, in the walking, in whatever activities you are engaged in. Finding the way to come to short moments many times through the day. There are many ways, as Aria said yesterday, to expand the metta to all beings. And this is only one. As she said yesterday, you may be the sort of person that you, the moment you sit down, radiating metta for all beings works better for you than all this mishigas of, you know, going around in a circle or expanding directions. Some people, that drives some people crazy. And if you're one of those people, that's totally fine. Just go to all beings. And if you're the kind of person that likes a systematic kind of progression, these categories by way of direction are very useful for that. You can say, okay, I'm going to do 5 minutes north, northeast, east, southeast. I'm just going to 5 minutes in each direction. Use that if it helps you to have some kind of framework. Whatever works for you. And trust that, really trust that. Trust yourselves. So I wish you a wonderful, interesting day of metta practice for all beings. Thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for your practice. And I'll turn it over now to Aria for the questions and the chanting.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.